the Woodbridge Road, when you go up the hill, you're going to go into my two driveways that have private driveways and our garage. My one thing is, when it's bad weather, you can't go down and you can't come up that hill. Now, as for fire trucks and emergency vehicles getting down there, they won't be able to do it. And at the last meeting, I said, remember the majestic condo tragedy that we had. That could be the same thing. And the streets are so narrow. All right? Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Sir, I think we're down one row.
My name is Jim Whitman at 394 South Fork.
Good evening.
All these people here, we've already had a meeting about this a couple days ago. So I'm going to give my time to these gentlemen right here. The only reason I signed up was in case they failed to say something that brought up in that meeting. So all my time goes to them. But all these people have already met just a couple days ago, and we were here last time, and we're here again today. That says a lot.
Yes, sir. Ma'am? Is there anybody else on that line? No? I think we're up to you.
I'm Monica Bryan, and I live at 427 South Fork. And I think that a lot of these issues are going to come up when these two get up and speak. But the main one for me is the incompatibility. When SMBZ bought the property, they knew it was single-family residential. They are surrounded by single-family residential structures, and that's all we want. This is not what we bought into when we bought our property.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on this side and start in the back. Anybody wanting to speak? If anybody knows the score of the Texas Tech Virginia game and comes up to speak, that would really be helpful.
Virginia was up, but we didn't have time.
Okay.
My name is Laura Beth Higgins. I live at 129 South Fork. I'm the very first house that you see on the left as you enter into this neighborhood. My husband is witness to crash with the amount of traffic that the area gets as it is. And I've witnessed quite a couple of close calls. We have four kids. I am not the only mother in this neighborhood that has kids here. And I'm concerned for the children's safety. There's no sidewalks. As it is right now, trying to walk along our neighborhood, we have to pull over into either our neighbor's yard or the driveway just to be safe of the cars that are coming by, because there's no real good passing zones. I'm just, as far as the kids' safeties and everything else, I'm very concerned with that. I wanted to bring that up.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else on that row? Moving forward. Next row? No?
I just want to say one brief thing. There's three mailboxes in front of her house. She's our neighbor.
Sir, if you're going to speak, if you don't mind, just so we can get your name and appreciate it.
All right.
Be consistent here.
Gary Brennan, 139 Trinity Road.
All right. Thank you.
So we get our mail on South Fork, and it's very narrow. And Dolly has said a couple of times that when she goes out there with her walker, sometimes she'll get turned away from the box and get her mail, and there's a car waiting here and a car waiting here for her. And I don't know, that's just no way to live. But it's just way too narrow, and I'm not going to say much about it. These guys have done some homework on that. But it would be a great injustice to allow nightly rentals to race through our track. That's about it. It's a middle-class track, and nightly rentals, from everything I hear, it scares me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, before I get you to you two, is there anybody on the side over here that's wanting to speak? No? Okay. Who's first?
You want me first? You want me? All right. There's petitions, guys. Sorry to get to you earlier, but...
Scott Brindley, 241 Trinity Road. And I'll try to skip by all the other stuff you guys have heard tonight. We've all been here long enough. But I'm going to go through a few things that maybe were just kind of hit on or wasn't brought up. Originally, the appeals board in March 16th of 2016 denied the same request. The developer's appeal stated, among specific complaints, the determinations whether a project, including the one proposed, is compatible with the surrounding area is standardless and arbitrary because it depends largely on the reaction of neighbors. Well, that's because it affects us. As well as identities of persons who might be in favor or opposed, and the conversations where local opinion is expressed tend to be informal, off-the-record statements about which the applicant is never informed and which he or she has no opportunity to rebut. We're all here on microphone. As far as our reaction, you know, we've already talked about all the different things, or we've heard them all tonight. Problem, one of the things that we have a problem is neighbors. You know, we all have a long-term investment in this community. The developer is there for a short-term investment. Renters are not invested. They're there, they're gone, as said. The legal definition of a residence is a living or dwelling in a certain place permanently or for a considerable length of time. Lakeshore Drive Estate is residential. Per the Taney County Development Code, Guidance Code on page 6, a commercial property is property activity associated with a property established for the sole and main purpose of salability and or profitability. Such commercial activities include business, industry, and trade. As far as the renters are concerned, that is a commercial property. It doesn't negate the fact that it's not a motel or a restaurant or a resort. It's still being a moneymaker for somebody. So that is still come underneath of a business. We are not zoned as commercial. Who will be monitoring such properties? It's already been shown across the nation the nightly rentals routinely will exceed their occupant capacity regardless of what the rules are. Lack of enforcement also tends to wear down the economic and social fabric of the residential neighborhoods in which they reside. As far as rentals being around, commercial short-term rentals actually artificially inflate rental costs. That's according to Realtor Magazine. This, in turn, makes it impossible for local persons who want to rent long-term, which we do have several in our neighborhood already of those, but they cannot find a piece of property to rent because the houses are already outpriced. Let's see here. Let's go on and see if I can skip a bunch of stuff for you guys. Short-term rentals usually disrupt the peaceful neighborhoods due to the lack of vested interest, as said. They bring with them noise, above traffic congestion, legal issues between homeowners and the property owners of said rentals. Proposed rentals for this particular establishment sit on a wet weather creek, which is kind of where that last full line is of yellow you can see. That goes straight to Tanicomo Lake. Any trash that goes out the back door, you know, some renters, I'm sure, will be very polite and throw the trash away. Other renters ain't going to care. All that's going to go straight to Tanicomo and Branson Landing. So that would not be a very good view for our guest down there. It also could be grandparents vacationing grandkids. But it's also been known that college kids wanting to get away from Dr. Davis over there may rent it for the weekend and be loud. It could also be drug dealers. It also could be a murderer or rapist that has escaped their area, which we have had before. As for our streets, according to the Institute of Traffic Engineers, which I think you guys have already got per the developer, it would increase the traffic anywhere from 181 to 221 trips a day, depending on what exactly is built.
40 seconds.
Okay, thank you. That's about one more car every 4 minutes. Some of the things, such as we have the emergency EMS. We have several older folks in our neighborhood. If we have one of those snows and everybody's parked on Southport because they can't get down there, the street is completely blocked. We are 15 feet wide in a lot of places. I know code's supposed to be 24. Checked with TCA and Western Taney County. They are 8'6" and 8'10" on their WIS. And when I talked to Western Cheney County, they said one of the biggest problems is in our neighborhood and multiple in the county, which is, you know, whatever, is they can't make the turn with some of the trucks because their trucks are so big. And then it becomes a problem with them just getting in to take care of situations. So, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
My name is Billy Ong. I live at 329 South Fork. Scott was talking about a street. This is a UPS truck in our street, and you can see how much space. There's not no other cars is in there. And this is that someone that had a garage sale, and a lady is walking by. There's no way you can, and this car is parked. They're not even driving. And so I am going to talk about a little bit about safety, but more anything else I'm going to talk about is what's interesting is this. Imagine you build a house, but there's only one door. That's what we got here. And everybody that lives in here is a stranger because the door, there's only one out. When this is a dead end. One in, one out. There's no other way. They can't build a road based on this thing. Can you imagine that everybody's walking in your living room is a stranger? That's what we're doing. We're developing a place. Yes, it's interesting what he said about the traffic count. I did read that. Basically, that's my background. I do master planning, developing. I retired with the Hurston family after 27 years. So he has 19 units. The average unit maybe has two cars. They're saying in the morning, only 9 people go in and out of there, and 14 cars will be in and out of there. 6 in the a.m., 6 will be in, and 3 will be out. My question, if you're on vacation, and you're doing 90 around, and basically it's over, that's all he's saying. It's basically, this is how people are traveling back and forth. Now, this study basically is not based on the tourist market. This is not one that you don't think of. We are in the tourist market. And so, you know, I do have a lot of concern about when you think about traffic and all that stuff. I do have a map that shows every point was a pinch point. This is the narrowest one is 15.62 feet, but we have a lot of 16 feet all the way to the top. And then George Kramer, last meeting, he asked me about, do you know that he asked them actually the slope of that street that's coming into the area? Actually, I do know that. It is basically, it's 216 feet long and it's the dropping 32 feet. At the end of it, there's no landing pad. Basically, there's only less than 18 feet from where the road ends to the end of the road. In other words, there's no way any car can take a break and turn, right turn. And you can see this. Basically, from that thing there, you can see here where it ends here. That's 216 feet. It's dropping 32 feet. And so as you look at those kind of stuff, I talked to her husband is a volunteer fire. The question is a fire truck. Because the new fire truck, because it's the length of the length of the ladder is an issue. But, you know, when you look at all this issue, it is interesting because we're talking about a lot of stuff. We're trying to squeeze things to a place already developed as a single home. And so whether or not he is right, maybe the capacity is not like that, it's not increased. But, you know, by the way, the 42% was based on the last meeting, which is we're going to have another meeting the 17th of April, about duplexes. Duplexes and all that stuff. Because under their plan, or that plan, basically they're submitting 114 spot parking there. This is their plan. Now they're going back and they said, no, we're going to do it as a nightly rental. Under 19 space. But what's interesting about that is that